Hello, and thank you for tuning in for a third episode of the as-of-yet-unnamed Try Games podcast. I really need to think of a name.
Do you Haro! Have
any... Haro is going to be our name?
Yes. It's going to be Haro, the podcast.
You fuckwad. All right, it's us two assholes again. Mr. Chupon, real name Austin Shao. I'm here with the dreaded one.
Yes, it is the antipode, real name you'll find on the site.
Alfred Gatling, there you go. Anyone wants to send him hate mail, you can send it to him. He has dreads.
No.
Okay, fine. All right, E3 has come and gone. We've discussed all that stuff. But we're not done hating on Ken Kutaragi just yet. As you all know, there's big news making the rounds. PS3 is too cheap. We'll get to that in a second. But we're going to go back to a somewhat structured thing. And start off with the new games that you've bought and you are playing, Al?
Oh, you mean like Odama and New Super Mario Brothers, which I bought you?
Yes, thank you very much. And I have to pay you back for that.
Yeah, that's okay. Odama, pretty interesting game. If anyone hasn't heard of it, it's pinball with battle strategy, real time. It's very interesting. Like I said, it's fun to play, I'll tell you that much. If you like pinball, and if you like strategy like me, and if you like talking to your troops, it's really interesting.
You mean like literally talking?
Yeah, literally talking.
Into your controller.
Into your controller with the help of the supplied microphone. Thank you, Gamefly, for selling me that game for $30. Because it's very well worth $30, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, you learn how to command your troops throughout the game. You get these voice scrolls that give you the commands, and then you tell them to do stuff like press forward, press forward, press forward, and they go, Arrivasta! And then you gotta fight off the troops and get the bell from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. And in some levels, it does that, and in some levels, you have to do things like defeat generals, and you have to knock them off their high horse and beat the crap out of them with your troops.
What happens if your ball rolls into the bell, though?
Oh, if your ball rolls into the bell, it produces this big gong that knocks away all your enemy troops. And then if you get these hearts that turn the bell white, it will turn your Odama into the Heavenly Odama, which basically allows you to conscript enemy troops.
Oh, so, like, it doesn't, like, if your ball rolls over your belt, wow, that sounded bad. If the ball, like, hits the bell and stuff, it's not always bad, depending on what the status
is. It's not bad at all. I mean, unless there's a whole bunch of your troops standing behind the bell and you kill them all. But if you hit the bell, it just goes, wong, and all the enemies go, ah, get here! And, when the ball is white, after picking up a whole bunch of hearts, then you get to turn the ball green and roll over bad guys.
Oh, okay. Stuff like that. Okay, so they obviously took into account the fact that you might not be happy rolling your ball over your own men, so they decided to compensate for that.
Right. I mean, you're not going to be happy, but it's something that happens. It's casualty of war. You lose guys because you're rolling the balls over them.
Now, I've heard that, like, this game is ass hard, and I've looked at people play it, and it looked ass hard. Is it really that ass hard, or are you just better than us?
I might be better than y'all. But it's easy. And I mean, it's kind of short if you think it's easy, just because there are 11 levels in the game, and I'm already on the 8th level, and I started playing it yesterday. So, I spent a good hour on one level because it was just hard to do certain things. Like, the level was basically like an arena, and if you can kind of visualize it with me, it's like a semicircle on the top, where the ends are pointing towards you at the bottom of the screen. And the actual semicircle is like wooden planks that's kind of like a scaffolding. And the general's on top of the scaffolding
with a cistern.
And you have to knock down the ends of the scaffolding so it makes a ramp so the ball can go around it. And then you hit the general with the ball and he falls off. And then you tell your troops, you rally on him, and then they start beating the crap out of him. And all the time you got these guys shooting arrows at you and the guys throwing water on you with the cistern and you're constantly pushing the bell up and getting troops and conscripting people, and it took me like an hour or so to do that, but I did it, and it was very, very gratifying.
Did you find yourself, like, replaying, levels over and over, because a lot of what I've seen, people are like, oh shit, I died, I gotta replay it. One of those, you died, restart, you died, restart, you died, restart.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that comes with any game. You keep screwing up, you keep losing, and the game is kind of brutal in that sense, because if you are playing and you lose all your balls, you start out with one, but if you do really good, you get one, at, you know, depending on how much time is left.
Lose all your balls.
But like, if you lose all the balls, you lose. If you take too much time, you lose. If your bell gets pushed beyond your flippers, you lose. And, you know, all you gotta do is know what you did wrong and do better next time.
I guess I should consider the source being that a lot of the people who complained about this game's difficulty also complained that F-Zero GX was too hard.
Huh.
And complained that Strider 2 was too easy because of unlimited continues.
Huh. Yeah, if you don't challenge yourself, then...
Strider 2, old school game of the millennium. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, if you challenge yourself, I mean, if you get a game that's unlimited continues, and you say that you're going to try and get through it in none, and you don't do it, then just try and do better. Well, don't say the game's too easy because they give you the chance to finish it.
Moral of the story, EGM is stupid. People are stupid. I like you, EGM. I have your Revolution copy with the Triforce on the cover and everything and whatever. It's just that you were the people who said Strider 2 was too easy. Or was that Game Fan? It was one of those two idiots. Anyway, now, you also bought the new Super Mario Brothers.
Yes,
and
yes.
And you also bought one for me, and I immediately started playing, and I died real fast.
That wasn't the first level, was it?
No, it wasn't, thank God.
Yeah, I think my girlfriend died on the first Goomba. I'm not sure. I laughed at her. Yes, I did.
But please, do talk about it. Is it really new?
Yes, it is new and it's old. I like to call it Mario in throwback mode. Because, you know, Mario's just running around, doing his thing. New stuff like ground pounding, stuff he used to do in Mario vs. Donkey Kong, the wall jumps, and let's see, what else you have there? You got the wall jumps, you got the ground pound, you got the mega mushroom, the mini mushroom.
But you can't throw shells up.
Yeah, you can't throw shells up, which Austin isn't very
bullshit
happy about. But I say just remember you're playing the first Super Mario Brothers in a new like color. You're not playing Mario 3, Mario World. Even though he was playing Mario World when I came to see him today before we did this podcast, and that could, you know, relate to why he wanted to
throw a freaking wall jump. They're gonna give you a wall jump, and he can't throw shells up.
Yeah, you know.
Is it because he's too fat?
Yeah, because he's too fat. But he's also got a shell suit, which is really cool. You run around and you turn into a shell and you just knock out stuff as long as you're running.
Tanuki?
No, there's no Tanuki. There's only fire, mushroom, mega mushroom, mini mushroom, shell.
Do you think it would have been better with like more suits or?
I think that it is fine the way it is because what it does is it gets people who said, I remember Super Mario Brothers, to play the game, like my mom, who I gave the DS2 a couple of nights ago, because she said that she was interested in playing Super Mario Brothers.
Really?
I said, wow, Nintendo's really doing its job of trying to get lapsed gamers back into the game.
Because, like, I just find it interesting how the Mario series in general, like, developed as far as 2D goes. I mean, first you had the Mushroom and the Firefly and the Star,
mm-hmm.
right? You move on to 2, let's forget about 2 for a second. Then you go on to 3 and you get, you know, all this stuff, all these suits and stuff, and the misprint on the back of the box that told you that you could go back a world and pick up something from the previous stage, which you can't do.
Really?
But, yeah, the back of the Mario 3 box says, go to a previous stage and pick up a mushroom to supply yourself with items, and I'm like, you can't do that.
That's
but anyways,
awesome.
It gives you the it gives you the world map, and you're kind of free to go in your route, but you can't go back and forth.
You know what I think they were doing? They were telling the future. They were talking about Mario Advance 4.
They fucked up.
With the e-reader? No. Because they were like, you know, go back to a previous world, which what they really meant was go back to a previous e-reader card and scan it into the machine and give yourself a mushroom.
In 1990. Shut up.
Telling the future.
Shut up.
That's right.
But then you have all these items like the Tanuki suit and the boot. And the frog suit, and yeah, the Kariba suit, and all that stuff, you know. And then, Then you got Super Mario World. They take away all that stuff. You only have the feather and the flower and the mushroom. But you get Yoshi, and then you actually do get to go back and forth between worlds. You get secret exits. You get all this stuff. And then now with New Super Mario Brothers, it's like, okay, they're putting in more stuff, and then they're kind of scaling back again. So do you ever think we'll see like a big culmination of everything? I would like to see that.
Not with the Nintendo's direction. Not with Miyamoto saying that, you know, there's just too much shit in games right now. I mean, I would love it. I would love to see a Mario game where, like Mario All-Stars, except instead of it being Mario, Mario 2, Mario 3.
It's everything close.
But it'd be like, you know, Mario can just do anything in any of the worlds with some new worlds.
In 2D.
In 2D.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know. I mean, what Miyamoto has been able to do is make complicated stuff simple for everyone, except for the 3D stuff. That's different. But, like, I'm sure that if he put his mind to it and he just worked it a little bit, he could have a game where you could go back and forth between stages, where you could throw your shell up, where you could fly, where you could get Yoshi, where you could get a Tanuki suit, and you could get Kurobi's shoe, and you could get secret exits, all in one game that someone can still just pick up and play. Because, I mean, essentially, all we're talking about is Super Mario World with more suits.
Pretty much.
Do it, Miyamoto. Just do it, please. Anyway. Alright, so I guess that's what you're playing. I haven't been playing anything new. I'm still trying to get past Ocarina of Time.
Oh yeah, I finished Water Temple.
Screw you! I'm behind! Let's take a look at what's coming up for the next week, which is to say, not much. I'm looking at GameSpot's release calendar, and the only thing that really pops out to... Well, the only two things that really pop out to me are Resident Evil 4 and Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition. Last year's games that are coming out for PC.
Wow. Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition, which is now $19.99 on PS2, which means it's been out for that long and has sold that many copies, is just now coming out for PC. Whoa, look out.
Yeah, it's going to be $20 for that too. The thing is, I remember, I just find it strange why... I don't know, first of all, people who are PC only, to me, usually, those types of games usually don't appeal to them.
No, they don't.
And Resident Evil 4 might be different, but then they're going to complain that, oh, you know, I'm going to use my mouse and keyboard to play this, why can't I run while I'm shooting? And they're going to think it's a shooter when it's not really a shooter.
No, they're going to think they're playing Dirge of Service.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Square, you fucked up. Ugh.
No, I heard they were fixing it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were fixing it for American.
But you still can't run and shoot at the same time.
Right. Yeah, but so like you port that for the PC, and I guess other Resident Evils have been ported to PC, right? In the past, they have.
Yeah, they have.
But I mean, you put that new coat of paint in it, and they still say this is not a first person shooter. This is just to make the gameplay easier, and I can live with that. But I don't know if PC gamers are really going to look at that and be like, this is a watered down shooter when it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think they'll? I don't have faith in them, but I'm hoping that they'll work on like the textures and stuff, because RE4 on Cube was one of the best looking games of this generation, regardless of the console. And to have them port this onto the PC with the usual rush job that they usually treat console ports with, low res textures, low resolution, you know,
I don't know. I think that my experience with doing PC ports of console games, the PC ports definitely look a lot better. They just play a lot worse.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, I really don't want to constantly bring up bad games that I've worked on with certain companies that I worked with. But, like, for example, I worked on this game called Gladiator, Sword of Vengeance.
The grass.
And, yes, the grass was the best part of the game. We had that game in for PS2, Xbox, and PC. And the main version, of course, was on the Xbox. But when it was ported over to PC and you played the game in like 1280 by 1024, the game looked absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But it ran like crap and you couldn't really play it.
Ran as in frame rate or ran as in like control?
Ran as in frame rate. The controls were fine if you played with a pad. You know, if you played with the keyboard, it was a little screwy.
Right.
But the game would kind of, it depended on the system that you had. You know, if you had a system that was running ATI, it would run it great. But if you had a system that ran GeForce, it ran it like crap. And then you play it like 800 by 600 and the GeForce run it excellently and ATI run it like crap.
Right.
I don't understand that, but they generally look better in terms of textures and all that stuff. So I'm thinking the RE4 PC will probably look like the GameCube or maybe a little better.
I'm hoping, because, you know, I look at, I think one of the exceptions to the rule is, like, not the rule, but games like Splinter, I think Ubisoft actually does a really good job with Splinter Cell and Prince of Persia. They usually make the games run nicely on the PC. And in fact, like, in Splinter Cell's case, the PC was, well, the PC and the Xbox were both the main versions.
Mm-hmm.
So, natively on the PC it ran well, and Prince of Persia just happens to run okay, from
right.
what I hear. But I was looking at videos of Onimusha 3, which was also part of this little... For anyone who doesn't know, this is basically a little Capcom deal where Capcom and Ubisoft got together, and Ubisoft would port the three Capcom games over to PC, Resident Evil 4, Devil May Cry 3, and Onimusha 3. This was way back in February when they announced this. But I looked at videos of Onimusha 3 on the PC, and, you know, the resolution was higher,
mm-hmm.
but the texture resolution wasn't.
So
while everything looked sharp, the textures were muddy as shit, you know, and
yeah.
it was just kind of bleh. It's things like that kind of give me a bad impression of the PC to console ports, console to PC ports, not just in the control if you don't have a gamepad or the frame rate, but also just the quality overall. Oh, another one comes to mind, Path of Neo.
I thought Path of Neo looked okay on PC.
It looked like crap. I don't know.
I mean, up close, some of the...
Up close, it looked horrible.
The models looked really horrible.
Oh,
yeah, that's
God.
True. But I never saw it for any console, so... I don't know.
Alright, what else is there of interest for you all? Let's just run that...
Jaws! Awesome!
Jaws is
game
coming...
based on a movie that was released like 12 years ago.
I saw a gameplay demo of it on GameSpot's On the Spot, and it's basically Grand Theft Auto Jaws.
What the... Wait, you play as Jaws, and
you
play
as Jaws, and you get like I guess they tell you. I guess you get like a prompt on screen that says, "Oh, there's a boat. Go eat it." And then you go eat the boat.
I wonder how much that game is gonna sell.
Yeah, me too. Coming out for PC and Xbox, Rogue Trooper coming out for PC, Xbox, and PS2. Lemmings for PSP is kind of cool, but I think it should be on DS because of the stylus. Heroes of Might and Magic 5 is finally coming out for PC, and I don't know what the whole situation was with that, but it's finally coming out. That's probably the only big new release for this next week.
Wait, you're forgetting about Table Tennis. That's gonna be a big
Heroes release of Might and Magic 5 is probably the only big release that's unique this week. Fuck Table Tennis. Let's move on.
That says a lot about this week's releases.
Table Tennis, Jesus Christ! Alright, news. This is pretty funny here. I'm getting this from Kotaku, All-Star Gaming blog. As you all know, Paris Hilton, the ever so intelligent and wonderful and beautiful, I didn't mean any of those, by the way, socialite, if we have to give her a job title, because she doesn't do shit but sit around all day and make sex videos and traipse around with what's-her-name, Nicole Richie, and make stupid TV shows. Anyway, she is coming out with a cell phone game called Paris Hilton's Jewel Jam. Only problem was she didn't know the name of her own game, so she went up on the podium at E3 and said, "Sorry I'm late, I'm really happy to have Diamond Quest." Here's the exact phrasing from Kotaku. "What on earth was I thinking? Not talking about the E3 story of the century. For those of you who haven't heard already, one of the biggest buzz-catching events at E3 was Paris Hilton showing up to premiere her very own cell phone game, Paris Hilton's Jewel Jam. So, of course, she stood up in front of a big sign that read, Paris Hilton's Jewel Jam, and said, I'm really excited to have my new video game, Diamond Quest. But the fact that she didn't know the name of her own video game isn't the funniest part of the story. On Monday, publisher Gameloft sent out a press release informing the press that, in fact, contrary to their dumb opinions, what happened was, quote, the company decided on a final title to better reflect the fresh, dynamic, and sexy appeal of the heiress extraordinaire," end quote. Which, of course, sounds much better than "we hired an idiot." quote, "It's a common practice at E3 to present games with working titles," end quote, said Gonzalo de Vallos, vice president of publishing at Gameloft. "We had the opportunity to have Paris Hilton herself reveal the final game title at our E3 booth, and we jumped at the chance. We are very excited to launch one of the most anticipated games of the year. Expect another press release next week to clarify that de Vallos was actually thinking about Assassin's Creed." Wow! That's worse. That's 10 times worse than Phil Harrison going up on stage and saying, "We've created motion sensing technology in our DualShock 3. What an innovation." You look very stunned and amused.
I just want to say I'm speechless. First off, that this game is made by Gameloft. Well, not made, but published by Gameloft. And second, Diamond Quest. I mean, how many letters in Diamond Quest match up with Paris Hilton's Jewel Jam? And how can you say that my name is Diamond Quest when you stand in front of a sign that says the contrary? That your name of your game is Paris Hilton's frickin' Jewel Jam!
Didn't you read the press release? It's a secret and it's a new unveiling of a new name. Kind of like, whee!
Yeah, only that there wasn't a big sign saying revolution behind Reggie when he said the name of the damn console was Wii.
Hey, Paris Hilton, you're an idiot. Get off the stage. My sister took a picture of you being an ass at Sundance. Just know that. Okay, moving on. Igarashi, the proprietor of the Castlevania series and also the man who turned every single protagonist of Castlevania into a gender-agnostic, feminine-looking guy. Or is it really a guy? Kind of, I guess. But yeah, says no Castlevania on the Revolution.
Yeah, he basically says that with the way Castlevania works and with the type of audience that Castlevania attracts nowadays, that he doesn't think that Castlevania and the Wii are a very good combination.
I like Castlevania.
He doesn't basically, he says this, but I get this is more of the reason why Castlevania isn't going to be on Wii right now. He says that he's thinking about the controller, he's having a hard time with trying to put his game philosophy and the controller together. And I'm thinking, right.
There's a whip.
Because there's a whip. Most of the time. And no, there's probably no way you're going to be whipping that remote like this with your right hand. I know you can't see me, but just do a whipping motion with your right hand, right? And think about the Wii remote in that hand, right? And then think about what you're going to do with your left hand in the nunchuck. The nunchuck is going to be, like, thrown off to the side. It's going to be, like, you know, unless they make a longer wire between the remote and the nunchuck, but that's something different. But I can definitely agree. I mean, I don't mind if there's no Castlevania on the Wii because it would probably be very limiting in terms of the type of control that we now have at our fingertips. Mm. It may be best to put it on Xbox.
I'd just like to pipe in here and say that the last two 3D Castlevanias sucked!
Oh, yeah. I rented one and didn't even want to play it.
I would say good riddance, but I like Castlevania, and I like Castlevania NDS, and I don't see why he couldn't toy with some kind of DS to Revolution functionality.
True.
The thing is, like, with the whip thing, I mean, if for anyone who's looking at the latest issue of EGM with Zelda on the cover, with the big story about the Revolution, they have a picture of Eiji Aonuma, the producer for Zelda, doing the whole bow and arrow thing that they were talking about at E3. You know, he's pulling the remote back from the nunchuck, and I don't know. I mean, the wire looks pretty long to me. It spans like the length of his arm and a half, so the wire's pretty long. And then the fact that you really don't have to whip that, you know, that drastically. You could just kind of flick a wrist. So, you know, even if he, it just sounds to me like he just doesn't want to do it, and he's trying to find a way to say it, and that's fine, but don't give me it's not going to fit the audience. First of all, he actually says, I read the story too, he said something like, oh, the Revolution is about quick, short games, you know, they don't want long, involved games. Hello, what the hell is Twilight Princess? What the hell is Mario Galaxy, and what is Red Steel, besides a poor showing at E3? What, you know, involved games... Dark. I would say that Red Steel and Metroid Prime and Twilight Princess are dark, quote unquote mature. And if he's struggling with a control scheme, just use the classic shell. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
I guess he's one of the many third party people just taking a wait and see approach, and he's probably just concentrating on DS, which is fine. I just find it funny when people come out and say, we're not going to make a game for X system because of bullshit reason, when everyone knows the otherwise.
Right.
So, I remember back they were saying Grand Theft Auto would not be capable, would not be possible on the GameCube hardware, which is total bullshit. When the real answer is that the only people who bought GameCubes were people 15 and under, and they wouldn't be playing Grand Theft Auto. They should just come out and say that, you know, but whatever. Next news before I start blowing my top off. Inafune says, hell yeah, hopefully Mega Man on Wii... That was your wording.
Yes, I said that he says, hell yeah, hopefully. Basically, he was saying...
To clarify, Keiji Inafune is the person who created Mega Man. Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm. He likes the Wii. He likes the control, and he would love to have some kind of Mega Man, other than probably bringing him the Virtual Console, on the Wii. And I'm thinking, that's a pretty cool idea, because, you know, Mega Man's got the arm cannon, and it's kind of like, you know, Samus, and, you know, I think that it would be really cool to run around with the nunchuck controller with analog shooting stuff.
Dear God, I hope it's 2D.
And it's, I don't know how to work it out in 2D, but it would be nice to kind of work it out in a 2D, 3D-ish kind of way, where you're using a pointer to shoot stuff, but you're not shooting stuff as Mega Man's walking on the side of the screen.
Geometry Wars type of thing, maybe. Well, to clarify, I downloaded this thing that's a Geometry Wars kind of homebrew on the PC called Grid Wars. It's basically Geometry Wars for PC. Mm-hmm. And one of the control schemes is arrow and mouse. And you're wondering, how the hell do you play Geometry Wars or anything like Robotron with a mouse? Because it's a dual analog setup, or Smash TV-like setup, where one stick moves and the other stick points in the direction you're firing. Well, it's literally where you point your cursor on the screen is where your ship is going to aim. So while you're moving with the arrow keys, if you point your cursor at the bottom right corner of the screen, you're going to fire in that general direction. So it works out perfectly. So I can imagine having any type of 2D platformer that's a shooter, where you're just running and jumping with the nunchuck attachment, or the big fat A button on the remote, which I call Wii. Wiimote. And then firing with the B trigger, right? So basically, and again, I know you can't see us, but you're moving with the left hand, and with the right hand, you've got your buttons there. But wherever you're pointing the controller on the screen is where Mega Man is going to fire. Although Mega Man has been traditionally fire left and right, so to break that tradition would be sacrilege.
Not really.
Okay.
Change is good.
That's true.
Playing is believing.
Fourth dimension. All right, moving on. Last week, a lot of people after E3 were up in arms about the fact that the PS3's retard pack was really going to be a crippled machine, unlike the Xbox 360's core pack, which simply just doesn't have a hard drive, which you can upgrade. But the PS3 couldn't. Now they're saying, and I'm reading this off a joystick here, that you can upgrade it. Here's the exact text. Sony has officially commented on earlier rumors regarding the lack of upgradability in the quote-unquote core $500, Jesus Christ, $500 version of the system. The rumor stated that the lower model will be unable to use wireless controllers. That I never heard that before, actually. Suggesting that the console will ship with wired controllers and the 20GB hard drive would be unable to be upgraded. A Sony spokesperson told GamesIndustry.biz, quote, both configurations will support Bluetooth PS3 controllers. That's what I understood. As for the second rumor, Phil Harrison told GI.biz earlier, quote, you can put in any drive you like. It is a computer, after all. So they also provided a picture somewhere, some website provided a picture that showed the hard drive bay where you can actually open the door, pull out a hard drive, and put in a new one. So the only feature, it says, that's non-upgradable, Sony says both a Wi-Fi adapter and a memory card reader will be available for the system, leaving HDMI output as the only non-upgradable feature of the 20GB configuration. So it looks like they're kind of making up for it. Everything can be upgraded. My question is, when they say memory card reader, do they mean they're going to have a memory card reader for regular old memory cards, or that memory card slots for traditional PlayStation games come on both machines, and that the additional memory card reader is for like SD memory and compact flash and stuff. So that hasn't been cleared up yet.
I'm still wondering about that memory card reader is going to be universal memory card reader. It's going to be able to... It's like the ones you put in your computer.
Right, but what I mean
but
is...
But it's also going to have PlayStation support.
But what I mean is the bastardized version of the console, is the retard pack, going to have a regular old PlayStation and PlayStation 2 memory card slot built in? That's what's not clarified to me.
The only thing that I can say, just that would make sense, is if the budget PS3 was backwards compatible still,
right?
Then I guess it should.
Because you know that the Xbox 360's debacle of a backwards compatibility strategy.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah. Like, you can't import... There's no way to import your saves from your old Xbox hard drive to your new one. Mm-hmm. And you can't use the old memory units in the new one. So there's no way to get your old saves from your Xbox to your new one. And I can't imagine... Well, this is, of course, a given, but I can't imagine how you would get your N64 saves onto your virtual console. But it does have memory card support, the Revolution, for the GameCube. So that backwards compatibility is
going to happen. Yeah, but who needs to... I mean... In terms of virtual console, you don't want to bring your N64 saves.
Right. No, I'm just being stupid.
I just thought about it, though. I was like, N64?
But I think Sony would be stupid to not build in regular PlayStation memory card support for every system, because it's a basic feature, and they're not that stupid.
So. That would be very disastrous if they did.
Yeah. So
especially if they weren't backwards compatible.
So I think for everyone, it's safe to say that it should have memory card slots for PlayStation memory. So don't get all panicky about that. The Wi-Fi wasn't built into the 360 either. So that's not that huge of a deal. I mean, considering you're paying $500 for a TAR pack, maybe it is. But in all fairness, it's not that bad. The thing about the HDMI thing is that, not too many people have 1080p capable TVs yet. But
who does?
Right. But suppose I buy a PS3 in November. Ha! Not going to do that. But suppose I buy a PS3 in November and I get a 1080p TV in 2 years.
What if?
What are they going to do? What are those people going to do?
Those people are going to get the new Slimline PS3 for $400. That's what they're going to do. But look. Here's, and this is going on Sony's philosophy, and I'm gonna agree with them right now. If you can afford a 1080p TV, you can afford a PS3 for $600. It's nothing to you, because if you paid $5,000 for a TV, of course you're gonna want to have a PS3.
That's
you're gonna
true.
Have the money for it. But you know what I'm thinking? If you get the retard PS3, $500. How many things left out? You got memory card reader, Wi-Fi adapter. 40 gigs of hard drive space. That's three things that are going to cost you more than $100 to upgrade.
Yeah.
Why would you not get a premium if you could get a core or retard?
That's the same argument as with the Xbox 360. And I think the dual SKU thing is just, it's like chaos control or whatever you call it. It's just disaster management.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Xbox 360 is $400. But wait, we've got a $300 version. You can still buy that.
And so, yeah, that's true.
Dear God, if the Revolution comes in two SKUs, I'm going to throw something.
I don't think it is.
It better not.
It can't.
Oh, now you have a shell, and you get the remote, and you get two nunchakus, and you get a soda for free for $100 more.
I want that soda.
Jesus. Moving on. Fining kids for buying mature or adult-only games. They just passed... did they pass a bill, actually? I'm going to GameSpot News. But the legislation in Minnesota... okay, they didn't pass this yet. But they want to impose a fine for every underage kid that purchases a mature or adult-only rated game. The bill... this is from GameSpot now. The bill, referred to as SFO-785, prohibits anyone under the age of 17... from knowingly renting or purchasing a restricted video game. It also prohibits an owner of a retail establishment or an employee from renting or selling a restricted video game to a person under the age of 17. The maximum fine is $25. What the hell is that going to prevent?
Damn those Minnesotans. Will they ever learn?
They did elect a wrestler for their governor.
Minnesota?
Yeah. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, he's... Yeah.
But Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not all for, like, censorship and all that stuff, but I do think a measure of control is needed to keep 10-year-old Jimmy from buying the guy game. Okay? I mean, it's perfectly reasonable to me, but if they're going to fine you, what the hell is $25 going to do?
Why fine the kids? I mean, say cigarettes, for example. You got to be over 18 buy cigarettes. If I was, like, 12 and I said, "Lil, give me a Lucy," and the cops are in there, they're going to fine the guy for selling it to me. Ain't going to do nothing to me, as far as I know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But as far as I remember, you know, they have these news reports busting the stores for giving underage children cigarettes. So why are you fining the kids for buying video games when they're
underage? Yeah, that's my question. It's like, what is the law surrounding media like that? Because, I know obviously if you're a kid and you have alcohol, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a kid and you have cigarettes, you might not be in trouble, although they don't really check up on that. Tons of kids are smoking outside of high school. Outside my high school, no one did anything. I wouldn't say drugs, because drugs are illegal to everyone. But, what happens when a kid buys a ticket to a rated R movie, or a kid somehow gets his hand on pornography? You know, is there a fine levied against the kid for that?
Nope.
So who does it go to? Only the store, right?
It goes to the place that sells.
So then, logically, that should fall for games, and I think it's totally ridiculous at this point. Then, I remember they were passing a bill to put all M-rated games on the top shelf so that kids couldn't reach it.
Yeah,
and that sounds kind of ridiculous, but it could have worked.
I guess. That could have worked because the kids won't even know they're there.
What's that?
It's the stupid laugh, because I don't think that'll work either, because as long as the kid knows that something exists, he will go and get it.
He'll try to find it, yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, most of the games that are rated M and rated AO aren't really worth the money. The games that are, you know, the very few that are good, mm-hmm. that are M and AO, like, I'm gonna speak generally here, but like Grand Theft Auto,
mm-hmm.
it's a generally good game for the people who like to play it. I don't like it, but that doesn't mean it ain't good in general. Yes, worldly sense.
Right.
That kind of game is one of those off to the side games, other than like the guy game and Girls Gone Wild and all those other games that show boobies and stuff and massive slaughters. I mean, keeping them high on the shelf so kids can't get them, that's not really going to help. Finding kids half of the price of the game, or in some cases, $5 more than the game costs
mm-hmm.
for buying it, is just unnecessary. I think that you should fine the establishment some absurd amount of money for being caught selling a kid a video game. And then they'll go, okay, can I see some ID? Can I see some ID? Can mm-hmm. I see some ID? And that will prevent the kids from buying games because they can't get out of the goddamn store.
You know, I was in a Target in Schaumburg, Illinois, where I worked for my client, and I hated that project. But I was in a Target, and I bought Killer 7 and God of War there because they were $40 there when they had just come out. And I got carded.
Yeah,
by the counter person.
Target will card your ass off.
I was A, flattered that they thought I was young, and B, glad that they were enforcing this, because I'm not going to have my kid walk in and buy Grand Theft Auto, for example. You know, it's just not going to happen. There's only so tight a leash that you can keep on them. After school, they might sneak off and go into the GameStop. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like to see that enforced. I just think that this type of piddling fine is ridiculous, and I also don't think the kid should be fined. It should be the establishment. Anyway, moving on, because we're going on long here. Vista requirements were released, and you're going to need a Cray supercomputer to run it. Well, not really, but if you want to run it with all the bells and whistles, which means that little 3D interface, you're going to need to actually pay attention to your computer. Now, regular Joe and Bob aren't going to know what the hell a DirectX 9 compliant video card is.
Hell no.
But they're going to have to start.
They don't even know what kind of version of Windows they got.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go. Don't get me started.
Here are the actual requirements. Windows Aero interface, that 3D interface that's supposed to look
below
cool.
You. Jesus.
Aero will require a DirectX 9 class graphics processor that supports a WDDM driver, pixel shader 2.0, and a 32 bits per pixel capability. What kind of regular Windows user is going to understand that? And if they don't get that, will they really see a benefit to the way Windows Vista operates from a GUI standpoint? I don't think so. Really. I mean, they're not going to know. How many people out there who use regular Windows XP and don't really pay attention to that and just want something that runs their latest software, which will be Office Vista for a couple of years, they'll need that. How many people do you think are going to know what the hell Pixel Shader 2.0 is?
They're not.
And then, okay, so 64. They will have to have a 64 meg graphic card to run a monitor in less than 12x10 resolution. That's 1280 by 1024. 128 megs of graphics memory to support over 2.3 megapixels, and I think that's approximately 16 by 1200, I think.
Maybe.
And then a 256 meg graphic card to support resolutions above that.
1920.
Again, it's like all this type of stuff I don't feel like people are going to understand. So the biggest visual upgrade, which is what a lot of regular Joe average users notice about Windows, is not going to change for them. And then they've got this whole gang of different versions. There's Windows Vista Business, Windows Vista Enterprise, Windows Vista Home Basic, Windows Vista Home Premium, and Windows Ultimate. The latter version will apparently include all the functionality from other four versions. And then there's talking about things like, oh, we're going to specify what Windows Vista capable PCs are and what Windows Vista Premium ready PCs are. This is just... I mean, it's not confusing to me, but this is going to be confusing to someone who just wants Windows.
Well, not really, because for someone who just wants Windows, they only have three choices. And it, out of those three choices, one of those choices is going to be like, I don't want that. There's going to be Home Basic, Home Premium, or Ultimate. They're going to be like, I don't want that Ultimate shit. And they're just going to be like, I just want Windows, so I think I'll take Home Basic. Oh, what? I can't use my CD on this? I'll take Home Premium. That's basically what it's going to be.
I guess. I just feel like it's never easy on the consumer. Like, I had this one roommate in freshman year who his computer took its last breath and just died. So he went and upgraded his Windows. Windows, Microsoft made the whole shit confusing when it had Windows 98, Windows Me, Windows 2000, Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what's the next step from 98? Windows 2000. So he goes out and buys Windows 2000, and none of his stuff works because Windows 2000 is based on the Windows NT kernel, a business application. So he upgrades to that. Half his drivers don't work. His stuff doesn't install. You know, and that's not a knock on Windows 2000, which is a very robust piece of software. It's just not designed to be friendly that way. You have to know what you're doing. And so he's talking about how he like punched his wall and kicked his dog because this stuff wasn't working on Windows 2000. And
sorry,
it's like,
Pooch.
It's like. He should have gone to Windows XP or stuck with 98 and wait till XP came out because I remember XP didn't come out until the next year. They make things confusing like this, and average Joe consumer just doesn't know what the hell's going on.
But you know what?
Maybe they don't deserve to be using computers then.
No, no, not even. You got to think about this too. In the universal sense or in a more general sense, there aren't that many people who are going to be going out to purchase Windows. They're going to be purchasing computers fitted with Windows.
That's true.
So they
That's
won't really point. Have That's a choice point. In what operating system they have, which is part of the reason why they don't know what operating system they have when they have problems with it. So I'm thinking, you know, odds are these five versions of the software might not have that much of an impact as we say it is, just because of the fact that a lot of people aren't going to have control over what they get anyway.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Good point. Moving on, Bill Gates. Yeah, fuck. Nintendo UK bigwig blasts the PS3 controller. What's this guy's name? His name is David Yarnton or something. He recently came on record, you know, just kind of calling Sony copycat, 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 and then saying, we've never copied off of anyone, which is pretty funny. it's that type of, you know, that type of kind of hubris, I would say, that annoys us about Sony. And then I kind of feel like the Nintendo bigwigs are going to have to reel him in and kind of give him a strict talking to, because they usually don't speak out like that much.
True.
But as I'm trying to find the exact quote of this gentleman here, I can't think of anything that Nintendo really copied so much as standardized and made it usable for the console market. For example, Rumble existed in PCs a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Analog control was attempted before. They obviously didn't invent 3D gaming, although they revolutionized it, but there are plenty of other things that they did in the past that make me angry, like their whole little monopolistic seal of quality bullshit that really doesn't... How are you going to put a seal of quality on a Total Recall for the NES?
Because you want to sell it.
Thank you! I mean, so for anyone who is all, yeah, Sony's a copycat, yeah, Sony's an evil empire, blah, 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 including us, you know, we'll freely admit, Nintendo's had its own share of, you know, shady stuff, and, you know, I don't know, for this guy to just come out and say, oh, we never copied anything, maybe true, but, everyone has skeletons in their closet. Don't come out and be an asshole. And I can't find this news article. So, oh, here we go.
Ah, just in time.
from Kotaku. Okay, so this guy's name is, yes, David Yarton. I'd love to dig up some old Phil Harrison comments and say, hang on a second. 6 months ago, when we lost our controller, you said one thing, and now why are you doing this? I don't know what their decision-making process is, but I think if you look back, any innovation that has come in gameplay has come from us. Historically, we're always developing new things. We know Sony have had a lot of issues with the Rumble feature, and they've had to withdraw it because they didn't innovate, they copied. With Nintendo, I'm trying to think of anything we've copied, but I can't. Virtual Console!
They did?
Yeah! It's Xbox Live Arcade. That's all it is.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a bad thing, but for him to come out and say that, you know, just kind of knocks a couple of cool points off of their list for me.
And Live Arcade was out when 360 came out?
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, it might. Xbox owners who are on Live, I'm actually not on Live. Those of you who know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they also had some arcade stuff back on the original Xbox.
Not sure.
So, and the whole anything that has been innovative has come from us? I don't think so. The analog triggers came from the Dreamcast. Online play standardized with, you know, a unifying user log on came from Microsoft. So for all the good stuff that they've done, you know, they kind of got to reel it in a little bit. I wonder if this guy's going to get a talking to by Reggie or something.
Hope he does.
Yeah. Next, John Carmack going mobile. There's a CNN Money article about John Carmack expressing his wishes to develop on the mobile platform further. He came out with the Doom RPG, as funny as that sounds, and this other one called Orcs and Elves. Such an original title. On the mobile phone, and he wants to do more. What do you think about the man who created the Doom engine coming onto a mobile phone?
Man, do your job.
Which is?
Make pretty graphics. That's it. Just do your job. I mean, I understand you want to make some games, and you want to do something that's cool and that's new, and go into an environment that you're not really familiar with, and just providing yourself some challenges, but just stick with what you do best. Make money. Buy that Ferrari with the pretty graphics.
Ferrari with the pretty graphics.
That's what he did. No, no, no. Not
the Ferrari. The Ferrari has pretty graphics.
No,
a car has
no,
pretty
no,
graphics.
No, 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 no. I'm telling him to make the pretty graphics that fund his Ferrari.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Oh, no, you know what? I read this and I was all cynical as I usually am, but I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Ethan about this. We hope to have a freaking podcast one day. I basically made the note that I hope that Carmack doesn't keep on designing games per se on the mobile phones, because, and this is not a slight in any way, I just don't see him as a designer. And even Will Wright even said the same thing. He's like, I see him as more of a technologist, and that's what he does. He makes engines.
Mm-hmm.
He makes revolutionary engines that make right
that
make things go
Ferrari.
Exactly what you said. Doom was successful because John Romero was the level designer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the game designer, and Carmack was a technologist.
Let's not talk about John Romero.
Oh, God. But, yeah, so you can kind of see it with Doom 3. Well, I can. it's scary and pretty for the first hour, but it gets boring because the enemies always come from behind you. There's always a whole, oh, there's an item, let me go get it. Oh no, I stepped towards the item and the whole room collapsed. Here are more enemies. And they're, unlike the original Doom, which was a fantastic game and I still love it to this day, there are not 20 zillion enemies coming at you. There's like 3 or 4. And it's kind of like Resident Evil meets Doom. And if that was their intent, I guess that's fine. It just wasn't as fun. So, to me, I'm actually kind of excited to see what he can do with mobile phones, because he was the first one to actually put side-scrolling into PC games, I think.
With Keen?
Yes, Commander Keen. Because, unless, you know, the book I read was a complete lie. But you never really had PC side-scrollers scroll. It was always screen-to-screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cormac figured out how to render that, and he totally blew the doors off of PC graphics. They were the first ones. They put out Wolfenstein in 3D. Well, in 2.5D, but, you know, it was first-person perspective. He invented the FPS genre. So if he can do the same kind of miracles for cell phones, make cell phones pretty graphics, that's fine. Leave the engine out there. Let other developers take it. Because I don't want to see the next cell phone first-person shooter where everything comes up from behind you and there are 2 enemies per room. I don't know. Next piece of news, just a small one, but a really cool piece of news. PC games are going to get standardized cases again, and it's not going to be these stupid mini boxes, which house like CDs and sleeves, and you know you lose the sleeve and you lose your registration code. They're going to come in standardized DVD cases.
Thank God, that cardboard, man, shoot.
Hey, see, when they first came out in 1999 with those small boxes, I was really happy. But the problem with that was half of them would put them in jewel cases, good. The other half would put him in stupid little CD sleeves, which is what I just said. Fear, the DVD collector edition, came in a sleeve. It came in this nice, pretty box, and then it comes in a stupid little sleeve, which I promptly lost. That's my own fault, but still, you know. So if they can standardize these DVD-like cases and just have the disc in the case. I'm looking at my Call of Duty box right now, which comes in a really nice...
huge DVD
really nice
case.
DVD case that stacks the DVDs, and it has the instruction booklet in there, and it has the has the registration code right on the back of the instruction book.
How many CDs in this?
Call of Duty, there is one DVD for the game, and then one for the collector's edition material.
Wow, that spindle is pretty huge.
So yeah, the box is big, but you know, just in general, it's better to have a box. It's like the DS cases.
Yeah.
Versus the Game Boy Advance cases.
Oh, what Game Boy Advance cases?
Exactly. Piece of shit. Alright, that was small. So, moving on. Last piece of news for the day. There was a little rumor that the Revolution software at E3 was running on GameCubes.
Ugh.
If you saw a picture from one of the broken displays at E3 that someone managed to sneak, there was something that looked like a GameCube in the box. And then someone claimed to have taken pictures from behind Shigeru Miyamoto when he was conducting on stage, and saw on the front of the stage a little display that had a little GameCube in it. Now, you look at those photos, if you've seen them on the internet, they're fabricated, they're faked, it's easy to tell whoever made those photos, I'm sorry, but you're a liar. However, the GameCube shell in the actual media center where they were displaying the Revolution games on the floor, that's a different story. It was later reported, though, that, and this is kind of obvious, that everyone knows, well, not everyone, but anyone who follows this should know, that a lot of the Revolution dev kits come in GameCube shells. Matt Casamassina from IGN specifically stated that the early Revolution dev kits were GameCubes with a wired remote. So I don't think anybody should be surprised at this. Furthermore, there's whole rampant speculation about, you know, from the people who want the graphics to be so much better that, oh, these graphics are running on the GameCube. Imagine how much better they'll be when they come to retail. No, those are the graphics. Live with it. They're fine. I mean, I don't know why people are all up in arms about the graphics anyway. I mean, yes, Gears of War looks much better than Twilight Princess. So what? Really. Anyways, I'm done ranting. Your thoughts?
Well, you pretty much summed it up. I mean,
wazzle wazzle.
Rev dev kits, Wii dev kits, Wii D kits, they're in GameCube shells. And, I mean, they have GameCube shells with hard drive loaders in them, and hard drives are big as the Empire State Building, and that's probably, they probably had a hard drive loaded, and you couldn't see that through all the wires, but that's just the way it goes. You use the material you have to work on the thing. It doesn't mean that the inside is a cube.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. People are idiots. All right, that's it for the newsreel. Now we're going to discuss a topic that I'm sure is near and dear to everyone's heart at this point. And this will probably be the last time in a long time that we rail against this old man again. But it's just so fun to do. Ken Kutaragi came out and said, the PlayStation 3 is too cheap. Too cheap. And the man compares it to food. I mean...
restaurants.
Yes, he compares it to restaurants. But his... let me find this quote here. It's just hilarious to read.
I don't know it exactly, but I could definitely paraphrase it for you.
Do tell.
The man says, compare yourself eating at your corporate cafeteria...
ouch.
...to eating at a fine restaurant. Now, which would you rather go to? Would you rather go to your corporate cafeteria, eat Murder Burgers, Suicide Fries?
Murder Burgers, Suicide Fries.
Or do you want to go to a fine restaurant to have some filet mignon and chicken Alfredo with some penne alla vodka?
I want the Murder Burger.
I take a Murder Burger someday, and I take a penne alla vodka another day. But to tell you the truth, I have my penne alla vodka a lot less frequently than I have my Murder Burgers and Suicide Fries.
I want a Murder Burger.
And for him to come out and say that the PS3 is too cheap, it just shows how much money he has. And it's kind of like, you know, certain other somebody saying that certain prices of other things that a lot of people use every couple of days isn't that expensive when it costs $50-something to fill somebody's tank of gas. Oh, did I say gas? I'm sorry,
yeah.
I meant fill their cup of stuff that is used.
That's why I don't have a car.
Some names and chains were protect the incident. innocent.
Yeah. Alright, here's the exact quote. This is the PS3 price. Expensive? Cheap? We don't want you to think of it in terms of game machines. Because the PS3 is like nothing else. You goddamn right. For instance, is it not nonsense, yes it is, to compare the charge for dinner at a company cafeteria with the dinner at a fine restaurant? It's a question of what you can do with that game machine. What exactly can we do? If you have an amazing experience, we believe price is not a problem. When we announced the PlayStation price, it was said to be expensive. Same for the PlayStation 2. However, when released, both had sales that were unthinkable for previous game machines. This is because both offered experiences that could not be had on previous game machines. With the PS3, you can have next-generation game experiences that could previously not be experienced. Things like next-generation graphics and various services via the network. And, as with the PS and PS2, we believe people who like games will, without question, purchase it. I like games, I'm not buying it.
Wait. Notice how Kutaragi-san says, and I quote, with the PS3, you can have next-generation game experiences that could previously not be experienced, like... things like next-generation graphics and various services via network.
Xbox!
What about gameplay? Why doesn't the man say next-generation gameplay?
Because he can't offer it. I just... right there. Alright, he says next-generation... he says next-generation graphics. I'm already sitting here thinking Xbox 360.
That's true. I'm sitting here thinking Wii, but that's a different story.
Well, Wii doesn't really have next-generation graphics.
It's nexter.
It has Xbox graphics.
Yeah, well, it's nexter than the Cube.
But it's still not next-generation.
All right, whatever.
It isn't. You look at it, it's pretty, but it's not next-gen, and that's fine. All I'm saying is that he is saying that it can offer something that you can't get before, which is a total lie. You can get next-gen graphics on the 360. It looks great. Anybody who's seen Project Gotham Racing 3 cannot deny this. Alright? Services via the network. It's the same thing as... well, they're trying to promise the same thing as Xbox Live. Okay? And their whole response is, we're going to produce something with the PlayStation Network that's going to kill Live. Right? Because they're going to offer the same thing, and apparently for free. I'm not sure yet. But... gameplay is confirmed to be free, by the way. But... mm-hmm. It's not something that you haven't gotten before. This whole machine is not something that you haven't gotten before. I will say that if he's going to talk about Blu-ray, fine. But, I mean, the man is talking about a games machine. Okay, we can't think of it in terms of a game machine because they told us not to.
Right. You gotta think of it as a special event. I'm gonna go on a PlayStation 3 next year.
You're gonna
save up my $600 and I'm gonna take a week of PlayStation 3. I'm gonna come back home to my Xbox. With a little touch of Wii on the side.
But, you know, it's funny. I was reading Chris Kohler's blog, Game Life, and he writes it on Wired's Wired's website. And he pointed out something really interesting and really funny about his whole food analogy. And he went back to the Neo Geo. Remember that?
$650.
Nobody bought the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except for a couple of people.
Oh, I know some rich person who had it.
You know some rich person who had it?
Yeah, back when I was like 12.
Wow.
He had like two of everything.
It's really funny because the whole food analogy, he put up, Chris Kohler put up a little poster from an old Neo Geo ad. And it has a picture of a very withered, uncooked wiener, Frankfurter, and a picture of a huge hot dog with the works, with tomatoes and mustard and relish and all that stuff.
Wow,
that
makes sense. Tomatoes on a hot dog.
Yeah, that makes a hot dog almost impossible to eat. By the way, we're from New York. I'd rather my hot dog be not with the works because I'd like to fit it in the orifice with which you eat.
That's true.
I don't... The bullshit about Chicago-style hot dog, no offense. But if you're still playing Sega, NEC, or Nintendo, you're nothing but a weenie. Picture of the hot dog. If you're playing the incredibly high-powered Neo Geo system, you're a real hot dog. Picture of the hot dog with the works. And the copy says, tough talk, but think it over. Why fool around with limp, underpowered 16-bit systems when Neo Geo now offers the hottest, most advanced video entertainment system in the world?
16-bit.
Fact. Neo Geo simply out-muscles those guys with the big names. Neo Geo features a huge 330-meg hardware setup that delivers robust 15-channel real-voice stereo sound. A match graphics with over 65,000 vivid colors of amazing detail, not to mention effects with four-dimensional realism. Does Neo Geo cost more than the other video game systems? You bet. Does a Ferrari cost more than a Yugo? Does Prime Rib cost more than Squirrel Burgers? With Neo Geo, you get more than what you paid for. It's simple. Would you rather be a cold weenie or a real hot dog? I have several problems with that statement. All Neo Geo had was, and God bless SNK's heart, I love their fighting games, but they had shooters and fighting games.
And shooters.
And
fighting games. And the occasional platformer.
Ah.
Blue's Adventure.
Okay, good point. But all this is exactly the same argument. It's like, oh, you get stuff that you couldn't get before. First of all, what Al said, what about the gameplay? What's different about the gameplay? Second of all, I mean, if you see the port job that Takara did with Fatal Fury 2 Special on Super Nintendo, alright, that's good enough right there. I mean, no, you're not gonna have, like the I don't even know what was better about Neo Geo graphics that you couldn't get on a Super Nintendo.
Super huge sprites, 15-channel sound.
Okay, the sprites, yeah, good point. But is it, what was Super Nintendo at that point, $200? Is it $450 worth of sprite?
No.
Is it, with all this 330-meg hardware setup, whatever, I mean, that the benefits of that were not staggering at all. If they're going to use that much space, then, you know, start pushing the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say FMVs is pushing the envelope, but I'm just saying, you know.
Well, 330 megs ain't gonna fit no FMV. That's 330 megabits.
Oh, good point. Good point. But this is why I think that at a certain point, hardware is just bullshit. I mean, you take a look at, again, I'm gonna bring this up, Project Gotham 3, or Gears of War, okay? Or what else is out there? Lost Planet, I saw that. That looks really pretty. You take that stuff, all right, and you say, all right, the minimum I have to pay this to play this is $299 plus the cost of the game on Xbox 360. The minimum you have to pay to play a PlayStation 3 game, $499. $200 more. Does Heavenly Sword look $200 better than Gears of War or Lost Planet? I don't think so. And what can you do with it, with that machine? that you can't on 360. Oh, you can wave the old controller around and play Warhawk.
Very slightly.
You want to play Warhawk?
No, I said you wave the controller very slightly.
No, I'm asking, do you want to play Warhawk?
No. Why would you ask me that?
Do you want to play Gears of War?
Yeah.
Thank you! Sorry, Sony. No. Just too cheap? No. I can understand... No, here's the thing. Here's where I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I can understand the whole value proposition in the sense that, yes, they are giving you a Blu-ray machine. Blu-ray machines are going to cost $1,000.
Yeah, they cost $1,000 now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They are out already. So, you really, like, you are going to get a $1,000 machine inside of something else. You're going to get a media hub. You're going to get something that can network with your computer. You're going to get you're going to get a media center with game capability for $600. When you think about all that, it's not too bad. For Donald Trump, he doesn't give a shit, you know.
That's right.
He pulls $600 out from under his couch
when he looks for the bottom of his shoe.
Yeah. So, but for people who just want the games and people who aren't ready to graduate to Blu-ray, the difference here is, and I'm moving off of Devil's Advocate again, back into my normal, sane mode. We moved from VHS tapes to DVDs because VHS tapes were getting old. They were getting crusty. It was based on a flawed medium where the tape could tangle, where the VCR could eat your tape. It's the same reason why we moved from, what was it, cassette tapes to CDs.
Mm-hmm.
More compact storage, or at least streamlined. Easier to prolong the life of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And better sound quality. And yes, Blu-ray gives you better video quality. 1080p. Whatever. Why do you think DVD audio never took off? Are we ready to take that leap? Do we need to take that leap? Is that a leap we need to take? No, I don't think so.
I don't know. DVD audio is a conversation for another time. But that... That's it.
And you know that this time it's different because Sony has a vested interest in this format. They created Blu-ray, so obviously they want to push that crap out. It's like the whole UMD thing. UMD failed. I'm sorry, but you
really... No, don't apologize.
Well, I'm apologizing to the people who are crying right now about who bought all the UMD movies.
I'm playing the violin. He's apologizing.
they haven't sold well at all. You try to push this new format when we've got a perfectly good DVD format. And mind you, Sony was intelligent to include the DVDs in the PS2 and sell it for $300. $300, great price. DVDs, great medium. New, needed. Absolutely needed. And the other thing was, I don't think it was pioneered by them. DVDs were created by a different...
No, they were part of it.
They were part of it? Okay, mm-hmm. They were part of it. I thought Philips or Pioneer or something like that was involved.
It was like Sony, Philips, and Panasonic or something like that.
Panasonic. But and now Sony's coming in with this whole Blu-ray thing, and they're just pushing. They're using it as a vehicle to push this medium and not make a game machine. And so in that sense, Kutaragi is right. Don't think of it as a game machine. So what? We'll think of it as a Trojan horse now. But it just, if you're gonna say it's too cheap, make it actually cheap, like $400 for that whole thing. I could understand if $400 bought you the entire thing, and that was calling it too cheap. Okay, I understand that. But this is just really kind of insane. And the funny thing is, honestly, everyone's saying, oh, this is Sony's downfall, this is blah, 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 blah. It's not going to change a thing. Sony's going to remain up there. They might not be necessarily the market leader, maybe. Okay, fine. But they'll be up there. Plenty of people will have it. They'll save up. They'll buy the goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like people... I mean, the difference between this and the Neo Geo and, God bless the Saturn, which is also overpriced, and really didn't offer new experiences. I'm sorry, it didn't. PlayStation did. Sony has such an established position, whereas Sega ruined their reputation with the 32X and the Sega CD and all that stuff. And Neo Geo, no one really heard of the SNK systems. The Panasonic 3DO, they were just another random person in the mix. The Atari Jaguar. Atari had been long gone from like the real hardcore race at that point, so no one really associated with them. Sony has clout. Sony might not have games at this point, but they have early games that show. They have Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
And FF13. That's basically all they need to suck into people to spend money.
True.
So they're going to stay right there.
I just want to put a correction in there, because I just looked it up. It's basically Philips and Sony, not Panasonic, but okay. Toshiba.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
Interesting now that Toshiba wants to do the HD DVD and Sony wants to do the Blu-ray.
Ooh, war.
It's a soap opera. But you found something about regarding the games on the PS3 and how people still buy it without games. What was that?
Oh, yes. People, I got it right over here.
From Shaq News, because it gets you chicks. And this will be our last discussion of the day.
So David Reeves, the CEO of SCEE Europe, he says basically it was going to sell millions even if it had no games. Because it has brand equity. Because of the PlayStation name. People are going to just buy it because it's PlayStation 3. And not I'm going to buy a PlayStation 3 4, but I'm going to buy a PlayStation 3 just so I can have it in my house and look pretty.
That's retarded.
He says that in the PS2... Excuse me. He says that because of the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 names, that the first 5 million people are going to buy it, whatever it is, even if it didn't have games.
Retardulous. Now, I know I just said that they do have the clout and the brand equity like he's saying, but I'm basing it on the fact that they do have games, like Metal Gear Solid 4. That's why people will buy. Just come out and say, oh, you're just going to buy because of Sony. That's exactly why I have such disrespect for the heads at this company. You know, they make people like David Jaffe, who developed God of War for Sony, and Polyphony Digital, and the people who did Shadow of the Colossus, good, hardworking coders who make good games, make them look like idiots by saying shit like, oh, you're just going to buy it because it's Sony name on it. You're just going to buy it because we're us.
Right, and it's because of the game base. I'm pretty sure that if PlayStation 2 hadn't scored Final Fantasy VII... PlayStation hadn't scored Final Fantasy VII, things would look a little different right now.
Possibly, yeah.
Because, I mean, PlayStation was on all right. I mean, it had Tomb Raider in the beginning, and it had, Twisted Metal, people like that.
Well, we gotta remember also that their marketing was a huge part of it.
Their marketing was a huge part of it.
And before Final Fantasy VII, because it's like, first of all, everyone knows Walkman, everyone knows Discman, alright? Then you got the fact that they totally pushed Crash Bandicoot to, like, taunt the crap out of Mario and Sonic.
That's true, too.
You know, so they're the ones who made gaming, quote, end quote, cool, which I hate that statement. Because it's such a fallacy, cool, whatever, cool or not cool. They basically did what Sega did
to Nintendo
back in the early 90s, right? To Nintendo, they did it at an even higher level, at a more massive level, and basically Nintendo now is doing it to the hugely mass market. Except they're not doing it through this is cool marketing. They're doing it through their
this
remote,
is, right? Different.
Market. So
at least they're not muckraking like Sony and. Sega would do it with this. Oh my god, Crash Bandicoot.
Overrated
game. Terrible game.
Naughty Dog, you hear that?
And you guys are working on something new.
For once.
Good luck.
You know, Jason Rubin left them.
Good.
All right, I think we've gone long enough. We've gone past our promised 45-minute limit.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Oh,
whatever. Too bad. That's it for this week. If you have any comments, please feel free to email us at mailbag@trygames.net. That's mailbag@trygames.net. If you don't know how to spell that, screw you. We're out of here. Bye-bye.
Bye, bitches.
What?